Love paying shipping and delivery fees just to wait weeks for your package? We didn't think so. That's why Lowe's delivers fast and free. All MyLowe's rewards and MyLowe's Pro Rewards members enjoy free delivery and free same-day delivery on eligible orders. Yep, you heard right. Same day, too. That's just another way members get more at Lowe's. Same day applies to orders over $25. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at Lowe's.com/shipping terms.
Is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of The Usual Suspects, where we turn it over at four to The Blitz with Fred, AJ, and the gang. And Fred is already in the house. The Falcon is here. He'll be taking selfies, signing autographs, telling you about his new book and movie deals as he sits over here to our left, and we continue to roll on. Shane is in the house with his wife. His wife is a very intelligent woman. Shane, on the other hand, is a Steelers fan. We'll let that slide. As we continue to roll on with a great crowd here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, you should join us. 2325 Calder Road. It is a fantastic environment. We're outside on the deck. Lots of good refreshments from 11 to 7. 250 domestic bottles of Miller Lite, Coors Light, 450 you call it. A great deal
really
and great
bad.
Sports.
I mean, you can actually sit outside and enjoy the spot. So, I mean, there's a lot of people inside as well, but outside there's a bunch.
They got bug zappers, and they've got, you know, fans blowing, and you know, it's all good. The food's great.
All cleared up.
Yeah, so it's all good. Hey, I want to get your opinion on this because you're a lifelong Houstonian.
Yep.
We covered in great detail the entire anthem protests and. If people were actually understanding the message and if it was right or if it was wrong in politics and sports. Now it's crossing over onto the high school fields.
Yep.
And it's interesting from state to state how this is going to go because HISD has said that they're going to allow their players individually to make the decision whether they stand or not for the anthem. In the case of Louisiana, it's a totally different story. And when I say a totally different story, I'm not kidding. Parkway High School in Louisiana Thursday sent letters to parents threatening students with suspensions, loss of playing time, excessive running after games and practices, or removal from sports teams if they protest during the national anthem. Your thoughts?
Look, these are high school kids, so I'm actually kind of proud that HISD is, you know, they don't plan on interfering, but it does bring the question. Are the high school coaches in HISD going to get involved? Are they going to have a meeting kind of like the way the NFL owners or the NFL coaches are doing and say, hey, look, this is how we're going to approach this situation? I would think yes, because you're dealing with a bunch of kids below the age of 18 who obviously have guardians and can't necessarily make all the decisions in the world by themselves. It's an interesting approach by HISD. But I think in the long run, you'll be able to tell whether or not that's a good decision. And if they are just completely letting these players make this decision on their own without the high school coaches getting involved, I think there's a little risk there for sure.
Here's the thing you got to pay more attention to than even that. Parents are going to be influential on their kids. Parents aren't on that playing field. Parents don't have that stage. So the parents are going to be the ones that are going to be telling their kids what either they think they should do or what they will do. And that's going to roll over into consequences that the kids are going to have to pay with the coaching staff, with the school systems, especially if you look at this case in Louisiana. They also have to understand that there's a thing called the law.
Yep.
And when you start telling kids what they can and can't do in that certain circumstance, you're going to face face the music, so to speak, face some legalities that you might not be prepared for. I commend HISD for letting the kids have a choice, but again, it's going to have to be a situation that they try and manage to some degree because parents are going to get involved. When the parents get involved, they're going to tell their kids, look, this is my house.
Yep.
As long as you're living under my roof, you're going to do things my way. It can be a problem.
I think that's the reason why there's going to be some confusion because you're going to have parents that are going to go, look, you have to stand for the anthem. You're not going to be a part of this kneeling process. And I think other parents are going to be like, no, you're not going to stand. You can kneel if you choose to protest. And because of that confliction, I think it brings problems. At least some sort of some sort of meeting between the high school coaches, the high school staff, the high school, the independent school district. Is that a buddy of yours, by the way?
I think that was Mitch Trubisky's dad. I think that was the Bears fan. I wasn't sure.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a scary approach with high school students, high school athletes, to not have at least some sort of protocol in place before just going out there on the field. That's just my personal. I don't have no problem if you choose to let the players kneel and they do decide to kneel. But I think there needs to be some sort of protocol at the very minimum.
Well, and I think you're seeing from the standpoint, too, of the fact that when the NFL players did what they did last weekend, they did it in to show unity, to show that they won't be divided, to show that their locker rooms, they're all on the same team. But as we talked about at length on our show, there's a difference between the actions and the actual topics at hand that need to be discussed. And when you get into what the NFL is doing now, they've paid very close attention to, as a league, from a fan's perspective, of their opinion that not standing and honoring the anthem and the flag is a direct disrespect to the country as a whole, to the military, as which they're really focusing their attention. And for that reason alone, you saw the Cowboys do the kneel before the anthem, then stand in unity for the actual song itself to show respect for the flag. Both teams did it again last night with no one kneeling on either sideline, and I think that's what you're going to see going forward. Aaron Rodgers talked about it in the postgame. Look, we showed that we can pay attention to the issues, that we can have these tough conversations both in the locker room and, as Jordy Nelson and some of the players said, off the field, away from the locker room, where guys were just talking amongst the guys to get a better perspective and understanding from guys that may have grown up in a different background with different circumstances. Those are the important things. Concentrate on the issue, not the act, and I think the NFL is doing that. I think they also took a whole lot of notice to all these lifelong fans of whatever team you're a fan of burning all their gear and saying they're never going to watch another NFL game. When you have DirecTV giving refunds for season-long subscriptions of the Sunday ticket, if you have a problem with what's going on with the NFL, it's a pretty major issue, and I think that's why you see the NFL doing what they're doing right now.
Yeah, and it's gonna be something they're going to have to address for a while. It's not something that's going to go away. I thought it would. It sounded like for a few weeks there that the whole Kaepernick noise just kind of settled, and then when one player started kneeling and one thing led to the next, I mean, I think the NFL, I think the high school, even HISD, one thing we know that high school football in Texas is just huge. It's really big. So there's a bunch of high schools coming from a bunch of different areas, and they all have their own opinions on how to approach this. So I don't know. It might cause some chaos. I'm telling you, even at the high school level, I'm telling you.
It'll be interesting to see, but it's a dicey situation. But HISD, if you missed it, has come out and said that each individual player, they're going to give the choice to on how they handle the anthem. And I mentioned in Louisiana, it looks like there's going to be ramifications if any student athlete tries and or attempts to not stand during the national anthem. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I thought that was interesting news that was being discussed around the country this morning. We've got a lot more to come right here from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. And coming up at 3:30, Astros color analyst Jeff Blum on AT&T Sportsnet going to join us from Fenway Park, talk a little Astros Red Sox getting ready for playoffs. When we can talk about the Astros in terms of their playoff rotation, their playoff roster, and how this whole thing goes down to the wire between the Indians and the Astros for best record in the American League. Don't go anywhere. Much more coming up with the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
A RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, knee-deep in hour number two of the three-hour big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You should be here. Some room still on the deck, inside, outside, depending on what your particular climate is. Lots of drink specials, great food. 250 domestic beers, 11 to 7. as well as 450 U College. And, of course, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday for college, Sunday for pro, $15 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Lite. Great spot to watch the games, great scenery. Great atmosphere right here at Luke's in Beaumont.
Half the blitz is already here. Fred Fowler is here. The professional of the two is actually in the building right now. What up, Fred?
Professional Fred the Falcon.
Hopefully AJ was listening.
Posing for selfies. He will be signing autographs. I don't think transcripts of the movie are out yet, but if you need gambling tips, I think it's kind of like Peanuts, Fred, where they have the little stand that says the expert is in, and they can just make donations, and Fred can help you with your... betting for the weekend. No, but the Blitz is here after us. We're happy to be here. Great sponsor of the show.
I think that's the third time I hit your inner thigh. I feel very uncomfortable right now.
I think you should.
I think you should close your legs.
I think I'm going to turn away from you now. Thank you.
All right, so Patriots, Panthers. I kind of wanted to get into that because everybody seems to think that Cam Newton is going to have this bounce back game. Or not everybody, but I feel like there's a big consensus out there that, you know, he's going to have this bounce back game, and it may even get the W against the Patriots because the Patriots defense has looked a bit iffy in recent games. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think coming off that ankle injury, it's scary. And the type of mobility that Cam Newton has, you know, he's kind of prone for that big hit. He plays aggressive. I'm concerned for the Panthers. I don't think you necessarily give this W to Carolina.
I'll say this. New England has proven to be a one-dimensional team. I said at the start of the year, Pittsburgh was going to be a team that could really contend with the Patriots. I picked the Steelers to be in the Super Bowl. I thought that the Steelers had all the tools and all the weapons. Right now, Le'Veon Bell, whether it be the holdout during training camp or the contract and worried about getting hurt, has not looked like the same player. I know everybody's waiting for him to kind of whip into shape and become that weapon for the Steelers. They lost to the Bears. That's not something that is insurmountable, but that's something that has to be a little bit of a concern. From the standpoint of that same issue, the Patriots were a team that everybody at the start of the year said, well, they're going to be 10-0. Can they run the table? Can they go undefeated all the way through the Super Bowl? They're so loaded, and they have TB12. Well, TB12 and company lost in week one, and they haven't looked great, and right now they look one-dimensional. They have a great offensive system, and they have arguably the best quarterback of all time. But defensively, they are more than vulnerable, and I will give you this in the Cam Newton discussion. If you saw what Deshaun Watson did last week against that same defense, you better hope if you're a Patriots fan that Cam does have an ankle issue, because otherwise Cam is going to be, with his experience and how to move up in the pocket and when to run, is going to be a really tough guy to bring down. And Benjamin was hurt last week, but they think he's coming along. As long as he doesn't have any significant injuries to his major weapons, Carolina has all the tools. They just haven't put it together. And as coaches like to talk about, the season's in quarters. Until you get to the fourth game, then you start worrying about the second quarter, then you start really amping it up to make sure you're either a contender or a pretender. But for now, Carolina has time. I think you got to see Christian McCaffrey more involved in the offense as well. But I think, look, the big thing is going to be whose defense shows up, because Luke Kuechly and the guys on Carolina's defense, they're supposed to be pretty damn good too. They haven't done a real good job of stopping anybody either. That's where I think it's going to come down to.
And to your point about Carolina's running game, that's a team that as long as they can get some sort of running game going, they can get the offense going. They can get the passing going. But on the other side, Tom Brady under center, he doesn't necessarily have to have a good running game. Guys like Tom Brady, guys like Aaron Rodgers, they don't necessarily have to have a good running game to make things happen on offense. And even if they're under pressure, they tend to be able to, you know, throw accurate passes even when pressure is coming at them. I think it's going to be really important for Cam Newton himself to be able to rush the ball if they're going to have any type of chance against New England Patriots. To your point, just like Deshaun Watson did at Gillette Stadium last week. So it's going to be interesting to see, but it's hard for me to just kind of give the W to Cam Newton because there's so many ifs. Like you mentioned, Christian McCaffrey, he obviously needs to be a little bit more involved in the offense, but I think it's a matter of getting some of the younger guys ready and the defense playing well to beat this Patriots team.
I mean, I say as the prerequisite to everything we were talking about, focused on the defense, whose defense shows up more. But from an offensive perspective, Carolina's got to show that they can put points on the board just to try and stay with New England as well. Because the one thing they don't have a problem with is moving the football. And again, the Texans saw that firsthand last week. And if you leave time on the clock and Brady with the ball, regardless of what their defense has done, he's proven that with a three-headed monster at running back and the resources that he has at wide receiver, with all the guys that he has, he's going to utilize every single one of them. He's going to move the ball up and down the field, and you're going to have to at least try to match him point for point to stay in that ball game. That's, again, on the Carolina offense and Cam Newton, but I think it's going to be an interesting game. I just don't think anybody's giving the game to Carolina. I think you know, just because it is the New England offense, that should give them the advantage enough because Carolina's been so hit and miss.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the offense is going to do, even if the Patriots kind of struggle a little bit on defense, I think they'll be fine. I don't think it's going to be a close game either, honestly. I really don't. I don't necessarily believe it's going to be a complete shutout, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be a close game. So it's going to be interesting to see. It was a game that I was kind of looking forward to. This week. There's a bunch of other games that we could look forward to as well.
Important to say that we talked about it yesterday. J.J. Watt missed practice yesterday. People were speculating, is it the back? Is it the finger? It was just to give him a day off for rest.
Yep.
So that's a good sign because, as everybody is talking about, J.J. Watt still without a sack as we head into the weekend and the game against the Titans. But a lot of times, if you're not looking at the tape, you don't realize he's being double-teamed. He's being triple-teamed. And he said himself, look, as a unit, if we get 40 sacks for the year, and I don't have a single one, and we could force 20 or so turnovers, he goes, I'll take it, because as a unit, the defense is going to be ranked very high, and they're going to be very successful. They are focusing a lot of attention on J.J. Watt, and that is factoring in the fact that with all these injuries, the two back surgeries and the finger, he's not the player he once was, but he still has to be at least one of the focuses of offenses when they take on the Texans.
But like you said, the Patriots, I mean, they're putting 2-3 guys on J.J. Watt. It leaves the door open for guys like Whitney Mercilus on the D-line to really do things and make things happen. So hopefully, ideally, on paper, that's what you want. I expect them to go at J.J. Watt with 2 or 3 guys covering him, blocking him the entire game or for much of the game. But if you can get Whitney Mercilus and company to really make things happen on defense, it could be a long night. So, J.J. Watt may not be the player that he once was, but even with the back injuries, even with the finger, he still shows that he's a dominant force, and he impacts the game directly just with his presence.
No, he does, but the other thing that you got to keep in mind is now you're looking at a team that is multidimensional in Tennessee. They're going to come in with a thunder and lightning backfield with DeMarco Murray and company, and they're going to come in and they're going to pound the football, but Marcus Mariota has to be honored for his wheels as well because he's recovered from surgery. He's going to get out of the pocket. He's going to run. He's going to stretch the edges, and he's also proven to be a pretty good passer, and now he's got some weapons on the outside. So this isn't the old Titans offense that we're used to seeing. They have more weapons. They're more balanced. Their offensive line is better, and it's a team that definitely was picked to be one of the favorites to win the division for a reason because they're very talented on both sides of the football.
Yep. Look, the Titans is a team that might win this division. They really might win this division. It does depend on what they're going to do going like in the next 3 or 4 games, but it also hinges on the Texans as well, because if you look at their schedule, I think they have the Chiefs. I mean, the next 3 or 4 games for the Texans is not going to be an easy stretch. So the next 2 or 3 games for both the Titans and the Texans, I'm not necessarily sold on the Jags. It's really between the Texans and the Titans right here in the AFC South.
And the biggest thing for the Texans is you already lost a home divisional game against Jacksonville. If you lose another one against Tennessee, it becomes doubly hard to do what you've done in the past and come back and win the division, even at 9-7. And that means you're going to have to go on the road and do some things and prove that you're a good road team and trying to even up the series by getting wins at Jacksonville and or Tennessee.
Absolutely. 713-780-3776. We are live at Luke's Ice House, where the domestics are $2.50. Coors Light, Miller Light, right, Joel?
No doubt. And you call it, including Bacardi, Jack, Tito's, you name it, 4:50, 11 to 7 p.m. right here at Luke's in Beaumont. Come on out. Good-looking crowd, including the Pope herself. She is here in person. She also will be doing selfies until the papal vehicle takes off sometime after dark. So you can see Lauren Pope and her husband, as well as all the different beautiful people that are here on the deck, enjoying a wonderful Friday afternoon at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Back with a whole lot more on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Come on out on a Friday afternoon. Let's start the weekend early with a little happy hour, great prices, great atmosphere, and, of course, great food and beverage right here at Luke's in Beaumont, 2325 Calder Road. 250 domestic bottles of Miller Lite and Coors Light, 450 you call it. And news of the day. First and foremost, shout out to our man, producer T. Scott, back at the studio. Happy birthday, my
friend. Happy birthday, dude.
Thanks, guys.
That was very boring, Tyler. Is there anything big like on your agenda for this weekend to celebrate your birthday?
No. This is one of those non-relevant birthdays. Like, anytime you hit, like, a new decade, celebrate it up. But this is one of the non-relevant ones, so I'm not really doing anything.
So you and Tyler aren't going to get a Yeti cooler full of your favorite beverage and go fishing? I mean, you and Trey aren't going to get a Yeti cooler full of your favorite beverage and go fishing or anything?
That's a big negative, Ghost Rider.
That's not going to happen. All right, well, happy birthday, my friend. We are here at Luke's Ice House, as I mentioned, but Dwight Howard's little brother, Drew, is surfacing around the building, getting people entered into a contest to win a free night stay at the Red Roof Inn.
And by the way, Barry said he weighs only 185 pounds. Absolute garbage.
Yeah.
He's at least 210, 220 pounds, at the very minimum.
Drew Howard is liked a lot more than Dwight Howard. He is definitely going pushing.
Big in a good way.
Pushing,
I'm just saying, 185. He is
two and
not
a quarter.
185.
And since he hasn't, he's still waiting for his $1 million contract. He is walking around the room with his Red Roof in entry forms, because now at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 5 o'clock, we will be giving away a night stay at a Red Roof Inn.
Yep.
So look for Drew Howard, Dwight's little brother. He'll be running around the room, and you can register. And speaking of big contracts, this just in, Fox Sports, amongst others, is reporting Russell Westbrook has agreed to that monster five-year $205 million deal to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Eh, it's good work if you can get it, I guess.
Yeah, he had the contract on the table for, what, two, three, maybe even 4 months. You know, it kind of makes you wonder whether or not he was, you know, worried about the direction of the team.
There's
you know?
No question about it. And look, Sam Presti, their general manager, knew there was a real chance that you were going to lose Russell Westbrook after losing Kevin Durant. And with a small market franchise like that in that city, if you don't win games and you don't have the potential to win it all, you're going to lose a fan base and you could lose your team. So what he did was he made his best effort, even if it was for only 1 year, to make a mad dash and a push to try to get to that championship level. He started with Paul George. He added Carmelo Anthony. He's added some role players and some pieces around him. And now with Russell Westbrook seeing all that and the potential to keep Carmelo next year and try and re-sign Paul George if maybe he gets on the bandwagon to try and help sign, Thunder got all the tools, man, to be a force in the Western Conference. And I know Rockets fans aren't going to like to hear this. Right now, I see them as the number two seed in the Western Conference simply because they have more firepower, they match up well with Golden State, and they've got three guys that at any one time can isolate on the wing and get a bucket.
And it is going to depend on how Carmelo Anthony plays. Like I've said all along, especially when there was a chance that Anthony could be a Houston Rocket, I'm like, this guy is going to have to take a different approach, a different mentality. He can't be a ball stopper. He can't act like he's the man and everything surrounds him. And I think he's going to do that with OKC. And as long as he does, yeah, a number two seed looks very possible. I'm not going to give that official shot yet. I just feel like we got to play a little bit of the preseason, look to see what the Rockets are going to do with the roster, look to see what the Thunder are going to do with their roster. But, yeah. My question to you, though, he becomes only one of two players with a $200-plus million contract. Your boy James Harden was left out. You think James Harden's looking at this and like, man, I got screwed on the deal?
No, I really don't. I think that Harden's got enough money between the Adidas deal and the deal that the Rockets were able to work and orchestrate for him. You know, it's just like, who would have thought in today's NFL game that Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or guys like that aren't the highest paid quarterback, and it's Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
It's just timing. It's all about timing. You know, there's going to be a certain time when everybody's going to get their due and they're going to get their paycheck. And when the cap goes up or teams have money or teams are in limbo of losing a player, they have a tendency to make changes. And also when the collective bargaining agreements come up and there's more money on the table, there's more money for bigger contracts. You know, God bless Russell Westbrook for being in the position that he was in at the time he was in to get the kind of contract that he got. But James Harden got more money than he's ever going to need for his and probably at 10 lifetimes.
$200 million, I was just kind of being facetious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, the good thing for Russell Westbrook is they obviously made the moves to make him, to entice him to sign the contract. In the event that this trio does not work, he's still going to be the man if they can't get along. if they can't mesh and they, for whatever reason, decide to sign somewhere else, he's still going to be the man. Now, it puts them right back where they were last year, where it's just Russell Westbrook and a very minimal amount of depth, but at least he keeps his, you know, his throne as the man at OKC. And I think that was one of his big concerns, right?
Well, yeah, I think, and you got to keep in mind, like I said, Carmelo Anthony has one more year on his deal minimum, so he's going to be there. I think that from the standpoint of looking, if he went to the Lakers like everybody was rumored as his destination, if he left, both he and Paul George could go to the Lakers. I think that he realized, hey, with the nucleus that we have, with those three big three type guys and with some of the role players they have, we've got a team that can compete for a championship and continue to get better. And I don't have to try and build one and work with the young kids in L.A. with the Lakers. Now, if I can convince Paul George to stay as well, for the foreseeable future, at least we have a team that can compete. We're not saying they're going to win a championship, because we've been down this road with the Rockets, too. They've got a team that can compete, but in a lot of ways, it's the Warriors championship again to lose unless they have an injury or things start breaking down, which we don't see happening in the Bay Area. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to have a top four team in the West, because we know the West is so much more powerful than the East.
Yeah, God,
this definitely takes a team like the Thunder, which was a one-man band last year with Westbrook,
yep,
and gives them the firepower to compete in the Western Conference.
With Carmelo Anthony and Paul George leaving the East, God, the East looks so bad. It looks so bad. And in return, the East gets what? Dwayne Wade and Isaiah Thomas? I'm sorry, I like both players.
Isaiah Thomas may not play till January. Dwayne Wade's way over the hill. The All-Star game is going to be a joke, because the biggest thing is going to be who gets in the West and how many people get snubbed,
yep,
because of the fact there's going to be so many teams, I mean, so many players that are going to be fighting for just a few spots for that All-Star team. But from a championship perspective, look, the Cavaliers quietly have constructed a team that is going to compete with the Boston Celtics. And I think pound for pound is a deeper team than it was a year ago. And it may be a more talented team than it was a year ago. And assuming that Isaiah Thomas at some point does get healthy, and the fact that Dwayne Wade stays healthy, and you have Jay Crowder, and you have the resources around LeBron, I'm not going to count Cleveland out for at least being competitive in a championship series against anybody from the West. Plus, it's an easier road to get there. If you're in the Western Conference, you, like I said, you better have a top four seed, and you better be ready to fight till the bitter end, because every single series is going to be tough, tooth and nails, yeah, great basketball.
From like the number one seed to maybe like the number six seed, I want to say that's a dangerous team top to bottom, all the way down from the number one seed in the West to the sixth seed. So yeah, if you're in the Western Conference playoffs, yeah, you do want to be a higher seed for sure, because even the first round is not going to be easy for you at all.
No guarantees in the West. The only thing that I would say, if there is close to a guarantee, it's still Golden State, as long as they stay healthy. But look, it just got more hyper competitive in the West when you talk about Westbrook and Carmelo and Paul George in Oklahoma City. The Rockets, of course, have added a lot of good bench depth to go along with the addition of Chris Paul. So they're going to be heard from. San Antonio's still trying to do some things to stay relevant, but they're still good enough with Greg Popovich and Kawhi Leonard to probably be a top four team. But then you've got teams like Minnesota and Utah trying to make a push as well. So you're right. The Western Conference is going to be really fun to watch. I don't know that, you know, the East is going to be as fun to watch in the regular season,
maybe
in the first couple rounds of the playoffs, but at least they'll probably have a Cavaliers-Celtics final.
And maybe just like last year, it's not really going to get interesting until the second half of the season for them. And then there's going to be some more excitement in the offseason with all the off-season moves, because that's how the NBA works. Real quick on the text line, 710-3776, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman is trying to make it out here. But his driver hit a building. Now, when he says driver, I'm assuming like a delivery driver. Like, he doesn't have a driver just, you know, driving
could
him around.
Could be Get Me, could be Lyft.
Yeah.
Or it could be that when you're the friendly neighborhood beer salesman, you can tell some other guy in the warehouse to drive for you.
Yeah, and just come down to Luke's and have a $2.50 domestic beer, Coors and Miller Lite.
If you're the friendly neighborhood beer salesman, I'm pretty sure you've got a trunk loaded with all the beverages.
Yeah, but he can't bring, it's not like it's BYOB over here at Luke's.
It's wide open, buddy. You could slide it in through the back door.
Probably could.
Speaking from experience, from your standpoint,
I was going to say,
I thought you were the best at sneaking it through the back door. But I'm just saying, there are ways to bring in the beer. Just saying. So there's an indoor-outdoor facility.
If Matt Damon and Ben Affleck will do it at a game, why shouldn't we, right?
Do it at a game?
Yeah, well, they'll bring those.
Of course, you turned it into some sexual commentary. Let's reel it back in right now until you find people about the great program that is the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. With all the damage and devastation of Harvey, we know there's a lot of vehicles that were damaged beyond repair. And in a lot of cases, the deal has been left on your doorstep to try and do something with those vehicles to get rid of them. And you don't know what to do. Or you just have a vehicle that's been laying around collecting rust and dust and maybe it doesn't even work anymore. And you want to get rid of that as well. I'll tell you what you do. You call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. All you got to do is tell them what you got, tell them where you live, and they'll do the rest. They come to you. They do all the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. You get a $50 gift card for mentioning ESPN 97.5, and that's where the process really begins because they turn that vehicle into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. That could be book money. That could be eyeglasses. It could be warm meals. It could be bus fare and so much more, and it's all provided due to your donation. So it's Houstonians helping Houstonians. And I encourage you, if you can, to donate. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
You're smart. Play your part. Play your part. The choosy lover never without a never in the sheets like it on top of the cover. Money on the dresser. Drive a compressor. Top notch. Get the most, not the lesser.
And no telling why I'm feeling beyond, hey, hey, I'm beyond all that.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Nick Sciarra sitting in for Barry Laminack, producer T. Scott on his birthday back at the studios. Andreas the Hulk Hogan sitting at our table waiting to order his fifth course of a nine-course meal while he sits here with Dwight Howard's little brother over there at the marketing table. We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont having a great old time. You should be too. 11 to 7 p.m. It's like happy hour, only it's happy day. $2.50 domestic bottles of both Coors Light and Miller Lite. $4.50 you call it. This weekend for great college and pro football watching on Saturday and Sunday, $15 buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light. So all kinds of specials, great food. The marketing team is here. We're giving away one-night stays at Red Roof Inn at 3, 4, and 5 p.m. So you can register to win those as well. And you get to see Nick, who is the king of the 409, here live and in person. He has talked about it forever, but now he's here. If you need a selfie or an autograph, Nick is here. And he's
no threat so far, thank God. I'm still alive.
But you got baby Huey over there if you
need
protection.
Hour and 49 minutes into the show, and I'm still breathing, so I'm good.
I saw that in the bathroom. They carved 409 on the side of the stall. I was going to tell you, they don't mess around. They don't use Sharpies. They use, like, sharper objects when they carve
they
things
It looked like a little chisel or something. Yeah. I saw what you were talking about in the bathroom, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they don't play around. They represent well here in the 409. But I'm really liking the environment here at Luke's Ice House.
It's a good fun spot. Indoor, outdoor. They got fans and bug machines on the outdoor deck in case you are worried about any of that stuff. But the temperature is good on the outside, good on the inside. Beverages cool everywhere, and food really, really good, as Drew and Andreas can attest to. They've tried 16 of the 53 things on the menu. They're working their way up to the big 5-0.
Yeah, you've been picking on Drew about his eating habits like the entire show.
He's
like
trying to get to 230 by the end of the show, but I'm telling you right now.
Did we find out how much he weighs? Because one of the texters thought I was talking about Barry Laminack's weight, saying, oh, Barry, 185, that sounds about
I
right.
I win, by the way. I win.
What?
Closest without going over?
We didn't say that. We just said
okay,
the closest.
What was your guess?
220.
Right, what did I say?
230.
What did he say? 265.
What? You are not 265 pounds.
Yes, he is.
Wow. Wow.
I told you, he's waiting for that $1 million deal just so he can pay his bill at Randall's.
He could bench press, Barry. He could bench press
on a weekly, that food bill alone is ridiculous.
Wow.
No wonder why he doesn't pay for porn. I mean, the guy's got to save all of his money just to feed himself.
You love picking on baby Dwight Howard.
I don't.
Every single remote that I've ever heard.
Always good to Drew. Always good to Drew. See, he said that.
All right. Well, I was just trying to instigate.
It's Barry that likes to pick on.
I do a pretty good job of instigating between you and Barry Laminack. Obviously, I can't get any friction between you and Drew.
News of the day: Russell Westbrook has signed his 5-year, $205 million deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Davante Adams, the receiver that got hit in the head last night in that Packers-Bears game, is okay. He's going through concussion protocol, but he is already out of the hospital and at home, so that's good news. Even better news, the Green Bay Packers won last night, 35-14. So we've got that out of the way. And lots of other things, like college football tonight leading us into the weekend, which is big. And some new rules. The Board of Governors, by the way, Tillman Fertitta, the scheduled new owner of your Houston Rockets, had a meeting with the Board of Governors of the NBA yesterday. Everything seemingly went well, so it looks like the wheels are in motion for sooner rather than later the Rockets to have their new ownership led by Tillman Fertitta. And as well as that, the competition committee has been making some changes to some of the rules, including the draft.
I didn't do too much reading into the story, but I figured with the adjustments they're making to the rules that tanking will be at least at the very minimum more difficult, and it doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
No, so after the hurricane, you need a forklift and you need excavating tools, right? You don't need a feather duster. They feather dusted the draft, right? I mean, it's still possible for the teams, you know, not with the worst two records in the league to get that number one pick and get into the top five. They've made it a little better chances for those teams with the worst record, but at the same time, I don't think you're going to avoid tanking regardless.
So here's a little stat line as it comes from ESPN.com. Under the current system, the worst team has a 25% chance of nabbing the top pick. The second worst team has a 19.9% shot. Starting in 2019, the three worst teams will have an equal 14% chance at the most coveted asset in basketball, which is the number one pick. So it doesn't really change anything, but they do admit that it's something that will eventually change in the long run. Apparently, it's something that they can't change right off the bat. It's going to take, like Deshaun Watson's hairline that Barry Laminack was picking on. You can't just go in there and edge it up. You got to ease up into it.
You went there, huh? You're feeling comfortable right now, aren't you? It's a little warmer. Your blood's flowing.
I'm an absolute wuss when it comes down to cold weather, bro. Like, I hate cold AC. I hate cold weather.
Well, what's the alternative? Warm AC?
Well, I mean, you can turn it up a little bit.
I mean, I'm just asking. If you hate cold AC, I mean, that warm AC, I think you can get on the cheap.
There's AC.
It's called a fan.
you know what I mean. But, like, at your house, I know you blasted, like, on 50 degrees. Because when I walked into your house, I was like, freezing cold.
That's why you're not asked to come inside anymore.
I know. I don't want to be inside.
Laminack's the one that's got the box fans.
I couldn't do that. AC blasting and the fan blasting in your face? Why?
He says
climate control for a reason.
He says white noise. I mean, I just turned the TV on.
Go give Barry Laminack a hug in Dallas, please. He's dying for a hug.
Lauren Pope, because she has so many followers on Twitter, Lauren Pope needs to let everybody know that Barry Laminack is performing at Hyenas in Dallas tonight. And for all of the people out there listening, Barry just needs a hug. After his shows, he goes in the lobby and he sells koozies and he shakes hands and he kisses babies. But at the same time, he likes to be kissed as well. He likes warm, sensual hugs. And at the end, if you could just blow in his ear and or on his neck like an exhale, he really prefers it.
Yeah, I said go with the peck on the neck or smell his neck really quick for like a half a second. He's not a germaphobe at all.
No.
At all. So just go ahead and do that. I mean, I don't see what the problem is.
A lot of times he does prefer to, if you trace the outline of his lips with your pointer finger, that's also something that he feels is really, really effective.
It's a dog-friendly bar. I didn't know that.
Love that, right?
Love that.
Big fans of
absolutely
dogs.
Your wife hates dogs.
My wife really loves dogs.
You have six dogs working on seven, right?
I'm not saying that, Nick. I think we have five dogs. That's what I think.
All right.
Because I think there's a limit. I saw a great tweet today, by the way. Dirk Nowitzki sent a tweet out. Said he got it from a fan in open practice. It's much appreciated. They sent Dirk a card that said, "You've been taking discounts the past 6 years to try and help this team. Lunch is on me, big fella." They put a $20 bill in it.
Oh, really?
It's a pretty nice little effort by fans who appreciate the efforts of one Dirk Nowitzki not taking a max deal to try and make the team better up in Big D. Unfortunately, that may not put him in the top eight in the Western Conference this year, regardless of anything else. All right, so we got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. 3:30, Jeff Blum, Astros color commentator on AT&T Sportsnet, joins us from Fenway Park as we talk about Game 2 of the Astros and the Red Sox. Lauren Pope should probably be paying closer attention, as we just told her something that she should do. She did not hear us. She will have to check in with us at the break. And, by the way, Jason Green,
Jason Green, you, my friend, looks like you can put this to very good use. You have won a night's stay at a Red Roof Inn. There you go. Honeymoon, and they'll leave the light off for you. That's what I'm talking about. Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, back with a whole lot more on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Slow and cold, and I'm banging school. Slow and cold, and I'm banging school. Slow and cold, and I'm banging school.